This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Howdy, what's happening? How are you today? Tinky and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network, Sirius XM 206. As we lift off on a Tuesday across the country inside of our Quicken Loan studio, national mortgage lender. Quicken Loans, apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. He's Tiki, I'm Tierney.
Congratulations, homeowner.
Yes. What a day, man.
Where's the champagne, man?
We had a little yesterday.
We got to be popping bottles. I know, but what about us?
Hey, listen, bring it
me
in.
Me and D-Cell and Samter and Margaret for a minute or two. We're in here like
Samter's
hanging
got his toast up.
I got some water for you.
I don't want water. Are you kidding me? With what I spent, I need a little more than water. I'll take something clear, though. Maybe a little vodka. The celebration's underway. I mean, listen, anybody who's been, I mean, there's hundreds of millions of people who've done this in their life. I mean, it's nothing unique, but closing on a home is pretty awesome.
Is this your first one?
Yeah. I have lived
everywhere in the world, and step out of the country.
But oddly, Oddly, though, I grew up in a home. I didn't grow up in a park. Had a home. Parents are still there in Brooklyn, right? Let's see. Downtown Brooklyn, just out of Marist College, like Montague Street. Mm-hmm. You know the area well. Good spot. Yep. My buddy's dad owned the building, so he just basically hooked us up with Fred Lloyd. We couldn't afford it.
Don't trash it.
I'll move on. That's funny you say that. Then I went to... let's see, Allentown, Pennsylvania for my first radio job. Mm-hmm. Then I had one apartment there by myself. Then I moved to Las Vegas and with a couple of guys who were in the business still and had three different apartments during my 2 years there. Then I moved to Detroit by myself. I had one apartment there in Troy, you know, like one of the suburbs there, about 20 miles, not quite 20 miles from Detroit. Then I moved back to New York, and I lived on the up. First, I went back to my parents' house for a month at like 24. I'm like, get me out of here, man. Then I went to the Upper West Side, and I was there for about 7 years. I met Jen. We moved to Hoboken when we got engaged. These are all apartments.
Yeah.
Then we moved to beautiful San Francisco. We were in Soma, right by AT&T Park, an apartment. Then we moved to where we are now, basically Weehawken, apartment, first home. And I forgot.
20 residences in.
I forgot how much stuff I have, framed jerseys, and it's... it is awesome. So thanks for covering me yesterday.
You're welcome, brother.
Obviously, a lot of moving parts, but Jen was a rock star with this. And amazingly, I didn't lose my, not temper, that's not the right word, but I didn't lose my, I need things
patience.
To move forward. Yeah, patience. I need things to move forward.
I told you, it
forward.
Takes forever, right?
Well, you didn't go. You said
of course,
crazy.
I didn't go, but I heard about it.
You didn't even go.
I
you
heard
couldn't
about
go
it.
That day.
For those who don't know the story, when I moved into my current house, it was during the Super Bowl.
Yes.
So we were gone. Me and BT were in San Francisco? No, where were we at?
No, it was before that. I think it may have been Glendale.
I think you're right. It was Arizona.
I think it was Arizona,
and
right?
Tracy had to sign everything for her and then everything by proxy for me.
Oh, my God. You don't stop signing.
I'm telling you.
After a while, I'm like, I don't even know what the hell I'm signing. Yes. Let's give me the keys. I got to get out of here.
Here's our next baby. Here's the will. Here's everything.
Oh, man. You're not taking the radio show, though.
Exactly.
You can't have my wife. You can't have my kids. And you can't have the radio show. And speaking of the radio show, let's start it. Where do you start? Do you start with the gritty performance by the Saints, which I think some people are grading for a lack of aesthetics? I actually view it as a real positive to win that kind of way on the road.
Look, they're banged up. They're on the road. It's a division rival. If there's anybody who knows this team really well, it's the Panthers, who have won this division multiple times over the last couple of years. Ron Rivera is very familiar. This is a hard game. I mean, it's not like because the Saints are better at 12-2 and the Panthers have been faltering that all of a sudden the Carolina Panthers are just going to lay down. Now, the problem is the Saints have looked bad 3 weeks in a row. They looked really bad in the loss to the Dallas Cowboys.
Yes.
That actually may be because Dallas' defense is actually better than we want to give it credit
what
for.
What happened against the Colts?
And then
Colts scored some points.
That's true.
So that I was kind of thinking the same thing.
I put it more on the Dallas offense. They were just so bad.
Yeah, I was getting tweets while I'm at the closing. Yo, get back in the studio. Tiki's destroying my Cowboys. Tell I heard you lit into him pretty good. And by the way, rightfully
you
so.
Had to.
They were terrible. You can't, trash.
Look, you can't
against
be
the Colts.
A game away from winning. This is a tangent from the
I got
from,
you.
The Saints and the Panthers.
We'll
but since you
that.
Missed this yesterday and Jen's a Cowboys
and
fan.
And it's a big thing because it is Dak and it's Dallas.
You can't get donutted. I don't care how good Andrew Luck and the Indianapolis Colts defense is. They played terrible. Dak looked unconfident. He was trying to make some of these throws. It was just he was wishing them to where they needed to be, as opposed to putting them where they were where they're supposed to be. And really great quarterbacks. If we're going to say Dak is on the verge or on the cusp of becoming one of the top end quarterbacks in the National Football League, he's got to make those plays, and he just didn't. Zeke did his job, right? The defense for the most part held up, and then,
they took Cooper out. Malik Cooker was trailing him. Did a good job.
Exactly.
And without Amari Cooper, Dak is pedestrian.
Yeah, exactly. Period. Then that was my point.
Yeah,
and
I wouldn't disagree, by the way. If I was here, yes, I would have said the same thing.
Can you trust him?
No.
Of course not.
But you're going to still have to pay him a decent amount
of
because of what's out there versus what's
Agreed.
Not, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. Now, back to the Saints.
Yes.
The Saints are banged up a little bit right now. And this was a resilient win for them on the road against a division rival in a game that was ugly. I mean, it was really ugly. The Saints' defense has started to play really good football, other than getting tricked on that trick play by Christian McCaffrey, which helped my fantasy team,
hey,
by the way.
Me
I
too.
Moved on.
I'm in the championship.
I moved me too. I
nice.
Moved on. Other than that, the Saints' defense, give them a ton of kudos.
Yeah.
Eli Apple even had an interception.
Terrible
in
throw.
Terrible throw.
Horrendous
but
throw
but
by
Eli Apple
we'll
even
get
had
to
a
Cam.
Pick. Eli Apple even had a pick. But that's what it comes down to. You know what I mean?
That says it all.
I agreed. This Saints team was resilient when they had to be.
Yep.
Give them credit for that. Sometimes you win ugly. It is what it is. They're not guaranteed the number one seed, but they are guaranteed a first-round bye, I believe, unless they don't have the tie with the Chicago Bears. I can't remember what it is. But anyways, they're in position to rest and get that first that wild card weekend off, and so they can get healthy and hopefully get back to where they are.
Listen,
I thought
sorry,
this was a great win for the Saints, even if it was ugly.
I couldn't agree more. I really, you know, we get so wrapped up in grading it, and we want a pretty performance. I mean, we want to see Drew Brees go 29 for 33 for 346 yards
Put
and four touchdowns and no picks. And by the way, it's Mahomes' award. He got it. It's locked up. It's done. No chance. Drew's not going to win it, nor should he. Mahomes will win it, unless Rivers. So you got to keep it on. I believe right now it's Mahomes 1, Rivers 1A. And at this point, for me, there's a pretty significant gap. I do not believe Drew can win the award with all the respect
to
the great Drew Brees.
With three bad weeks in a row.
It's just two at the wrong time. Standalone games, Monday Night Football, high-profile stuff against Dallas. He's not going to win it. But we all want to, you know, they put up 43 against the Redskins and 45 that great game against the Rams and 51 against the Bengals and 48 against Philly. And we want to just scoop them into the Super Bowl. What people forget, and this is the one thing about fantasy and the new trend of the league, it really does, it has a way of marginalizing just how tough it is to execute with precision every single week.
You're right.
I thought last night was a good reminder.
And especially, BT, because I did a radio tour for a bunch of our affiliates around the country, so thank you guys for having me on. Just a
you
little
did that
bit
today?
Did it today, and I'll do one again tomorrow.
Yeah, they wrote me in on Thursday.
Yeah, nice.
Looking forward to it,
nice.
Actually. It's a lot of fun.
But what we forget is that defensive coordinators aren't idiots. They're not going to be like, I'm not going to watch any tape on what the New Orleans Saints do. I'm not going to watch anything. I want to be surprised. They've been watching what the Saints have been doing for 14 weeks now. Same thing with the Rams. You know, why are the Rams getting slowed down? Because all that, you know, that motion and misdirection and trying to get you off balance and confuse you, it's getting figured out a little bit by defensive coordinators. And defenses have seen it so many times with different offenses over the course of a year that they're not stunned anymore.
Plus, Gurley's banged up, which changes things for Jared Goff.
No, without a
doubt. It's old domino.
Without a doubt. He's got to be precise. He's got to execute with precision, and he's not doing that exactly right now. Especially, look at the defenses that he's played. I mean, the Bears are no slouch.
Sure.
And Philly played with, I don't know, they played with a great vigor.
A lot of heart. They played like a Super Bowl champ is what they did.
Absolutely. So pump your brakes on. It's over. It's not over.
Mm-hmm.
These guys just need a chance to reset and recalibrate because defenses have caught up. And a familiar foe like the Carolina Panthers, had definitely caught up with the New Orleans Saints.
Okay. We want to make sure we give props out of the chute. It's, you know, sometimes you wrestle with, you know, not that we want to focus on the negative, yep. but usually in
we
this
usually
medium.
We usually do, by the way.
We usually do. You know, certainly. But because it's, I don't want to say it's more fun, but it is.
It is.
Let's be honest. It's more fun. I have more fun railing on somebody than I do actually, you know, giving platitudes. not that I do it begrudgingly.
Well, it's
the platitudes.
Platitudes
it's
boring. You're right.
Who the hell?
Good
I
job.
Didn't sign up for that.
Hey man, we're paying you a bunch of millions of dollars. You did your job great. Good job.
Yeah.
I mean, what do you expect?
I got into this profession to rip people. Nah, but I will say this. All right. Let's get to Cam.
Yeah.
Who's really annoying me.
Cam or Ron
Cam.
Rivera?
No, forget about Ron Rivera.
Okay.
For now.
Okay.
We'll get to Ron.
I think they're tied.
Wow, yeah? You think they're right there?
I'm telling you, dude.
All right, let me just say this about Cam,
then.
You know, I'm so tired of the clown outfits. There's a deeper meaning. It's not just what he wears. Really, at the end of the day, I couldn't care what he wears.
Yeah, it is whatever, but still.
But the clown outfits, the suit shorts, the no T-shirt, the bare chest, the fedoras, the matching glasses. This guy's turned into a circus. Mm. This guy, I would never say that he cares more about how he looks than how he performs. That's ridiculous. Because I do think Cam wants to win.
Yeah, I do too.
But I also really know, based on what we've seen, every time he's got talent to burn and he's got, and I know he's banged up, but he's got talent to burn and he's got charisma to burn. Miles of charisma.
Yep.
You know what, though? That charisma really rings hollow and looks so weak and petty and shallow. When you lose the Super Bowl, you act like a petulant 12-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
You race right past Drew Brees. Don't tell me you didn't see Drew Brees last night.
Yeah.
Every other quarterback, you've been doing this. You've been in the league for 8-9 years now.
You're right.
You know what happens.
And
Tom
you know
Brady
Drew
does,
because you pay him twice a year.
Exactly. You do it, whether it's Brady, whether it's Rodgers. Even the scrubs, when they get their asses kicked, 37-6, find it somewhere within their competitive soul to suck it up. And I don't know if gentleman's the right word, but to comport themselves like a pro. And, I believe there's a lot that you can extrapolate from somebody when they're not going well. Like when anybody can look like a hero when things are going well. Oh, I'm feeling good. I'm vibing. I'm rolling. People love me. Headline stories, sports center, this. When things go awry, that's where character is revealed.
You're right.
And every time I see things go sideways for Cam Newton, I see less and less character.
Yeah. I mean, we saw it in the Super Bowl.
I'm serious about that.
We saw it in the Super Bowl. So it looked like a petulant child.
Yep.
He got his toy taken away.
Yep.
We saw it last night. And then look, it's frustrating. They've lost six games in a row. Six in a row for a team that was 6-2 and in control of where they were going to be.
Play better.
I agree.
You're the former MVP.
But this is where it becomes. Dicey for Ron Rivera. So Ron Rivera, we know Ron Rivera his seat is heating up a little bit. This is how I'm tying in Cam.
Gotcha.
With Ron Rivera.
Okay.
Tyler Heinicke is their backup. He's thrown a couple passes this year, really, because Cam Newton's arm is jacked up and he can't throw Hail Marys. At some point, you have to realize that Cam can't throw the ball. I mean, the interception that we talked about, that Eli Apple picked
to
off.
To the corner, to the pile on right side.
He's so much of a liability, then there's no point. Unless you're going to have him take off and run with the football, like Lamar Jackson, 60% of the time, there's little point in having Cam Newton continue to be your quarterback. Now, maybe Ron Rivera is going in every Tuesday and Wednesday. Hey, Cam, how you doing? You feeling all right? Your shoulder's doing okay? You doing? How you doing? And Cam is lying to him and saying, "Yeah, I'm good to go, Coach. I'm going to be great." But what he's doing is two things: one, hurting the future of Cam Newton, because who knows what damage he's doing by continuing to throw on a banged up shoulder.
Residually.
Exactly.
Yep.
You know this from baseball.
Yep.
It's the same situation. Mm-hmm. I got a little bit of a tear, but it'll be all right. Trust
not
me.
Really. Not unless you're going with a scalpel.
Exactly.
Yep.
No, it's not going to be all right. And because he's playing a hurt quarterback and everybody knows it, he's compromising his team's ability to win.
Mm-hmm.
And so here you are with these two decisions that are just bad for the look of the organization, and with a new owner and David Tepper, who is evaluating everything. Maybe it's a desperation move, but it's not playing right for Ron Rivera. I think he wasn't on my hot seat list earlier this year. He's clearly on it now.
No, he's got to be on it.
Yeah.
When you go from 6-2, granted, there's myriad things that go awry, and invariably, whether it's a lineman or a key receiver or a key linebacker or a key corner, mm-hmm. or your quarterback is banged up. It's, again, to be fair to Cam, as much as a lot of the stuff bothers me, and I believe he's half a phony. I believe that he is physically compromised. I do. And I do believe he's a gamer. I don't think he's soft. I'm not saying.
I don't either.
Not at all. I just think that he's a guy who is a little bit too enamored with how he looks and how he projects rather than the end result. All the Superman stuff. You know, it's. I've never been one to grade celebrations, but there's got to be a correlation between. And I know that they're also older, and they're also white, so maybe there's a difference in terms of exuberance, whatever. But Drew Brees and Tom Brady and Peyton Manning, you know, Aaron Rodgers does the belt, and that bothered some people, whatever. I thought that was funny. But for the most part...
Especially because it was a commercial.
Exactly. You know, he made bank on that.
He monetized it, man.
Big time. But he hasn't... he hasn't ascended to that place of royalty. And I think it's... Two things that have kept him from getting there. Number one, he's just woefully inaccurate. Mm-hmm. The bottom part of his mechanics from the waist down are awful.
Yep.
He throws with the shoulders, and that's it.
Right.
And he's got enough zip, and he's strong enough and quick twitch enough to zip it in there when he's healthy.
He really does have an odd delivery.
He does. But so does Rivers. But Rivers, everything flows. You get the sense when he really ages, when he's 32, 33, and he's got a lack of foot speed, or it's no longer a real asset, who is he going to beat? Not with that
no.
arm, he's not.
No.
And then I would not want him as my franchise quarterback at this point. I'm done with Cam Newton. I'm done with him.
I don't know if I could say I'm
no,
done.
No, I'm just saying I am.
Yeah.
I don't believe him. He will never win a Super Bowl. This season's over. They don't have enough to get there next year. He will never win a Super. He had his one shot, and granted, that defense was fierce, but there was and that symbolism, that ball was on the turf, and he went backwards. Big bad Superman, you know, you want a big bad guy, big tough guy, big Superman, go get the football. He went backwards. 855-212-4227, Tiki and Tierney Show. I don't know, maybe you think I'm too harsh, maybe you agree. Tiki's point about Rivera is on point as well. Let's get some calls. The reaction from last night, Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line is 855-212-4227, brought to you by GEICO. Great news. Quick way to save money. Switch to GEICO. Go to geico.com and in 15 minutes save 15% or more on car insurance. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network, Sirius XM 206 on this Tuesday. Got inbounds, out of bounds coming up next segment. See what we got there. Inbounds, out of bounds. A little something on the Broncos.
Oh, I got to do this, actually.
I didn't do it yet. A little something on James Harden. He's starting to play well.
Yeah.
A little something on that scuffle with the Bulls. That was pretty interesting. Something on the Phillies with Machado and Bryce Harper. All right. Looks like a good menu. We'll get to that coming up in a bit. And also, Kareem Jackson, hour number two. He's been on a few times with us, D-back for the Texans. You know, it's funny. We should learn our lesson by now. We don't, though.
What's that?
We don't. Every year, we think we understand, we think we know the NFL.
You're right.
You know what I'm saying?
You're right.
We may, and I'm going to certainly stand by what I said about mm-hmm. Cam. I don't want him as my franchise quarterback. Not saying he's not tough.
Yep.
Not saying he's not talented. Don't want him.
Yep.
But from a trend in terms of team point of view, every year we go through this, and we put out these bold statements, and every December we've got to reassess and say... Ooh, did we maybe go a little bit too early there?
Yeah. No, there's a bunch of them. You look at the AFC North is the one that jumps out. Look, remember how good the Bengals were?
Yes.
It feels like...
They destroyed the Ravens in week two or week three. AJ Green had three touchdowns early?
It feels like that was a 2 years ago because of how bad they've been. And the Pittsburgh Steelers, they tied. They had a tie with the Browns at the beginning of the year. We're like, oh, here comes the Steelers. And then we shifted with them. We were like, all right, the Steelers are viable for a championship.
Yep.
And now they look pedestrian at best. It just – it's you know, it's funny because in the NFL, you always talk about quarters.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we got to win the quarters. You got to, you know, go 3-1 in each quarter. And you're 12-4 and you win your division. Just quarter, quarter, quarter. You really have to look at it that way because teams change – over four or five or so games throughout the season. Their personalities become different, whether it's injuries or whatever it may be. And the complexion of the league flips and flops all the time. Now, there's some elite teams.
Sure.
Right? The Rams, the New Orleans Saints, the Chiefs. The
Chargers.
The Chargers. They're consistently there. But think even about the Houston Texans, who have the third best record in the AFC right now at 10-4. They started their season 0-3. They lost to the Giants.
That's right.
And
in Houston.
In Houston. Yep. We're like, oh, dude, this team is done.
Yeah.
I mean, some things go their way. They got to buy.
Yeah. Well, and think about this, because, and I've said this on the show before, to further illuminate just how precarious the Texans situation was, not only were they 0-3, but in week four, they were in overtime. And in week five, they were in overtime.
Right.
And they won both.
You're right.
I mean, it really is crazy.
This is why the NFL is the best league, and it's so popular to people, because you can count your team out, and then all of a sudden, they got a chance. The Browns still have a chance. They're not going to get in, but the Browns still have a chance to get to the postseason.
Browns going
to
be on prime time
right.
A lot.
They should be.
Oh, yeah.
I wonder who the coach is going to be an interesting decision.
You got to give him a chance, don't you?
I had one of my tours. I wish I had the sheet in front of me so I could tell you what the affiliate was in Cleveland. Mm-hmm. And one of the questions they asked me was about Greg Williams.
Mm-hmm.
You know, is it worse to give him a chance or worse not to give him a chance?
What was your answer?
I think it's worse not to give him a chance.
Yeah.
Because think about what he's done. Like the personality, like the cliche. We always say this: the personality of your team is the head coach. Greg Williams is like an ass, man.
Yeah.
He's just like, whatever. I'm going to say it like it is.
Yep.
You don't like it, too bad, right? It's like Sean
Payton. Kind of like Baker.
And exactly like Baker. And so some people are looking at Greg Williams and like, well, the Bounty Gate thing, you know, just sully this. Who cares?
Yeah, so what?
How does he interact with his dudes?
Mm-hmm.
Do they bust their ass for him? The answer, absolutely, they do. And you might not like him and bring in somebody else who doesn't have any of that and just doesn't vibe with the nature of that Cleveland Browns team. They're tough, man.
Yeah, they are.
They really are tough.
I hear you.
And it's indicative or emblematic of their head coach. So you have to give him a shot to get that head coaching job.
I agree. I hope they do. I'd be surprised if they don't. I don't know if he's going to get it, and I don't know if here's what's really interesting. What if he doesn't get it? And the person that does get it wants to keep him as the coordinator, but another NFL team wants Greg Williams to be their head coach.
He's got to go elsewhere.
Oh, I would totally agree.
No.
But what I'm saying is, if I'm the Browns, I don't know if I can let him out of the building.
True.
He's proven to be a real
asset. You know what happens? It becomes like Vic Fangio in Cleveland. Chicago. Chicago.
Yep.
Vic Fangio was up for the head coaching job in Chicago. They knew they needed an offensive guru.
Yep.
That's why Nagy got the job. But they did everything in their power, and it worked to hold on to Vic Fangio. And it's a good thing that they did, because look at the Chicago Bears defense right now.
But don't you think it was a little bit a great point? But don't you think it was easier to keep Vic because he's older?
Yeah,
like, don't you think
bit.
that Greg will be more in demand, more
a little bit.
But, energetic,
but
more
Vic,
youthful?
I think Vic could be a viable head coaching option.
You know, I'm not saying I disagree with that.
And yesterday we talked about the Denver Broncos and how they were thinking about bringing back Mike Shanahan at 66 years old, and it's like, why?
Yeah.
Why?
Yeah.
Well, if you want to go, if you want to go, exactly.
I mean,
if you want to go old school, go get Vic Fangio.
Yeah.
I'm serious.
Yeah.
Right. So there's some decisions that will be made this offseason by some organizations, and some of them are in turmoil. Like the Denver Broncos are in turmoil right now.
Yeah, they've gotten to that point
with the ownership group and John Elway, and who's going to be their head coach. Vance is still there, but I mean,
he was out, and then it seemed like pretty solid. He was back, and now it looks like he's out again.
Yeah,
you know. And I heard Shanahan's name connected to the Jets, which, trust me, does not excite me at all. Mm-hmm. If they hire Shanahan, I'm not saying he's not a good football man. Please don't get me wrong, but that's just not the vibe that I want.
No,
I mean, you know, my dad's in his early 70s. I got love for for the 70-year-olds, but I don't know if I want somebody who's almost 70 coaching my team. Not in the modern NFL. I don't know. But I also do think that there's danger as teams search for the next McVay that you allow that to maybe blur some important part of the senses, because you're so enamored with youth and a projectability with that youth that you can also make a really sloppy hire just because he seems young and vibrant and innovative.
Not everybody's Sean McVay.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. There you go. 855-212-4227. Tiki and Tierney Show, inbounds, out of bounds, after Axe update. What up, Ack?
How are you?
You doing okay?
I'm doing swell.
He's the Ack man. What do we have? Any hot stove stuff? Anything cooking yet?
Nothing major.
Nothing today?
Nothing major.
Still waiting for that big one to drop.
Yeah. The Giants were, according to reports, the most heavily attended or most intense about Troy Tulowitzki's private workout today.
Really?
Yeah, maybe San Francisco.
Every team attend that, or just...
I don't know how many people were there.
I mean, even if you send, you know, your fifth scout, why wouldn't you go and kick the tires on him if you can get him for $2 or $3 million, right? You're not going to pay big money for Tulo at this point. He's shot physically.
He's barely played the last year and a half.
I know. Here's the other problem, too. If you're a National League team, like, I mean, the Giants have to do something. I get it. But in terms of Tulowitzki... The American League would make more sense. The age in 35, 40 games.
I just wonder if you're the National League, if you're a team like the Giants, maybe you're trying to move Joe Panik, put him at second maybe, maybe spell Evan Longoria a little at third. Yeah. Can he do that at this point in his career? Still remains to be seen.
All right, here's the update from Ack. Inbounds, out of bounds after that, Ack.
That's a great shot. Sun gleaming off the side of the building.
It looked like a casino in there. I actually thought it was a casino, like a Mandalay Bay, because it's got that gold reflection almost, but... Obviously, it's not. Good camera shot by our crew, Tiki and Tierney, here on CBS Sports Network and across the country, CBS Sports Radio. Tiki, just 2 weeks to go in the regular season. All about the playoff picture. Texans march northeast from Houston. They take on the Eagles, who are showing some late-season character despite being beat up. And then the Steelers head to the Big Easy when Pittsburgh battles the Saints for the complete playoff picture. Kick off your day, the NFL Today, 12 Eastern. And 9 Pacific on CBS. Not too far away from Super Bowl 53, CBS property. Going to be awesome. We'll be out there in Atlanta the whole week.
It is.
It'll be a lot of fun. Right? Hopefully the weather's going to be all right. Maybe squeeze in a little round of golf in the morning.
I think it should be. It should be. Friends down in Virginia. Even though Virginia and North Carolina got an odd snowstorm a week or so ago. Where it would, I think it dumped like a foot, or it would never, none of it got to us.
Friends got into an accident driving back to Virginia.
Oh, really?
In that exact,
okay?
They're fine, thank God.
Yeah. No, it dumped down there.
I saw that.
But it's now like 50, 55. So hopefully it maintains that in Atlanta, because we remember Atlanta back, what was that? Whenever, the Ray Lewis Super Bowl.
Nope.
It was miserable down there, that Super Bowl, because the weather.
Now, I know you're going to be juggling. You'll be doing kinky boots. I'm flying in early. I'm actually doing a St. John's game Sunday. I'm flying in Sunday night with Samther. And then...
I'll be there for Wednesday's show.
You'll be there Wednesday. I've got Tops every night and some other stuff. You know, obviously the radio and Tops, but...
You're like hustling.
It's all good. Hey, I just bought a house. The hustle's just starting, dude. If we can squeeze out and get around...
Oh, definitely.
Okay, what is the cold? I want documentation here, because I can see you bailing on this. Mm. Like you bailed out on going ice fishing when we had a chance to do that in Minnesota.
No,
bailed out.
No, I didn't. The ice fishing problem is that we would have had to get... gotten out of bed at like, I don't know, 4 a.m.
It was a tough setup.
Because it was so far away.
Suck it up.
It was like an hour or 2 hours away.
Yeah.
So in order for us to get out there, get on the ice, and then fish for, I don't know, a couple hours.
Uh-huh.
And I would have wanted to have a drink or
plus
two.
We couldn't drink because we had to do our shows later on.
And then come back to do the show.
A lot of logistical hurdles. I don't disagree with that. But
golf.
I want to get this on the record because we can find a close golf course. Okay. All right. What is the coldest? Give me that line of demarcation where Tiki will not go on the golf.
45 or below, I'm not hitting it.
That's fair enough. That's cool.
45 is
not. No, I'm with you at this point.
Yeah.
There was a point where. Before I got married, like I would try to play up till Christmas. Like we'd get bundled. It would be like 31 degree, whatever.
Yeah, but you can't.
No more.
Here's why 45 is it for me, because I can wear a light jacket.
That's what I'm saying.
Anything else, I'm so bulky, I get like stuck. And it.
But it's a built-in excuse, which is not a bad thing.
That's a good point.
So you heard that, right? 45 degrees? Mr.
I got to call up.
Mr. Diva's not going to bail on me if it's 48 degrees and I got a nice golf course?
I got to think about who we can call.
I'll take care of that, though. I'll take care of the golf. Don't worry about that.
We'll call the PGA. The PGA are friends.
Yeah, that's what I was going to call. All right, inbounds, out of bounds. Let's go.
Anything can happen in sports and often does. What's right? What's wrong? And who's just crazy? We decide. Inbounds and out of bounds now. Tiki and Tierney.
Okay, Tiki, over the weekend, Broncos made former first-round pick Shane Ray a healthy scratch for the first time in his 4-year career. but didn't tell him until Friday, a day before their Saturday tilt against the Jets. And as you might imagine, Ray wasn't exactly enthralled with the decision.
A lot of guys get told early in the week. Was it disappointing to be made aware of it that late in the week?
A little disrespectful, but no, it's all good, though. I don't think I've been inactive my whole career, so whatever reason they felt that I need to be inactive, you know, that's on them. I don't have the answer to that, guys. So I'm here for these next 2 weeks. Obviously, we're not going to the playoffs, so I'll be in here doing my work like a professional.
All right, that's actually a pretty mature take.
I agree.
There you go. Let's hear the question here. So a team telling a player he's not going to play barely 24 hours before a game is inbounds or out of bounds?
It's inbounds, especially for a guy who's not fully vested as a veteran. And you know this, BT, we said it many, many times. In an at-will league, the Denver Broncos are at a crossroads about personnel. They got to figure out what they have everywhere. So it's not like these are preseason games coming down the stretch, but take a look at those lines. Come Saturday, Sunday, by the way, for the Denver Broncos. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, no, I hear what you're saying. I'm going to say inbounds as well here. Why would this possibly be out of bounds for a team that's going nowhere, for a player that has not exactly delivered on his first-round status?
Nope.
Not that he's been horrendous, but he certainly isn't a player that you look at and say, this is an absolute definitive staple to our future. Even though the Broncos aren't very good, they are still... You know, they're building intel for their future. And this is a portfolio and everything. They stick in there and they'll make intelligent decisions, hopefully, for Bronco fans during the offseason. Why wouldn't this be inbounds? Of course it's inbounds. Now, let me ask you this.
They don't have a choice but to do this.
Yeah, and I have to trust their judgment that either something transpired that we don't know about and Shane Ray's not being forthright about, something that was rare instance, kept underneath the radar in today's age, which is tough, or they're just disappointed in his work ethic. They see him dogging it, whatever it might be. He had to do something. So how can I possibly defend it? This is not like a mutiny against Shane Ray. This is the Broncos trying to motivate him and get him right.
You're right.
100% with him.
Are you in or are you out?
All right, Teak, how about this? Final minute last night's win over the Jazz. By the way, you see Harden's yoke over Rudy Gobert.
And I didn't think he could get up like that.
Oof, that was pretty
sick.
He's sneaky. He has had a great week.
I know.
Throwback week. Blatantly, and he is sneaky. He's sneaky. He's got sneaky hops, sneaky explosion. So at the end of it, James Harden blatantly traveled. I counted five. I counted five steps there. Five steps on a step back three that led to three free throws to put the game away. And after the game, you get a look at it there. Nice separation, but that was absolutely ridiculous. After it, he pretty much knew he got away with something.
When you got fouled by Rudy, the Jazz felt like he might have got away with an extra step or two. What do you think about that?
What do you want me to say? Tell him myself.
So if you couldn't make it out, the reporter's basically saying it looked as if you got away with something, and James Harden rightfully said, what do you want me to do, tell him myself? I mean, well, what's the alternative here? All right.
It's not
so
tennis.
It ain't tennis. That's not golf. No self-policing, self-reporting, whatever. You didn't see it, you're bad. While we punish cheaters and tout good sportsmanship to children, and we do, we often see players flopping and complaining about obvious fouls or deny touching a ball. You'll see them throw their hands up. Not me. I didn't touch it last year. So, players doing everything that they can, including lying and cheating, in order to win, is inbounds or out of bounds?
Of course this is inbounds. I mean, how can this be anything other than inbounds?
I don't know. The moral police might not agree with this.
What are you thinking? We're not coaching or observing or opining about Little League basketball. It's the NBA, man.
I'd be telling the little kids the same thing. Don't you got to win. Whatever.
If they don't catch you, and when you get your driver's license, if you're speeding, as long as you don't get caught, you weren't speeding.
Exactly. I didn't see anything. You see it? Nope, we're good.
Yeah, this is inbounds. Like James Harden, he does this all the time. I think refs have gotten so used to him doing it that they don't even call it anymore.
Well, that's
unless it's egregious.
Right.
No, but seriously, though, he does.
I don't mean incorrect. That's not proper.
I agree.
It doesn't mean,
But the problem is sometimes he doesn't travel. Like, he actually takes the right amount of steps.
Yeah.
Other times he takes a couple extra. So these refs, they get caught in the middle, like, that look the same, but I think he took it. Yeah, forget it. And that's what happened.
It's not up to me to do your job. The answer's inbounds. I totally agree. I mean, you're in front of me. You have three referees placed in various positions on the court, strategically for a reason. If you don't catch it, it's not my problem. The answer is obviously inbounds. And anybody who says out of bounds is a complete fool or a complete liar.
Are you in or are you out?
Well, maybe somewhere in between. How about Jim Boylan, the mascot? This guy's an interesting cat, isn't he? All right, so new Bulls head coach Jim Boylan, and we've talked about him a few times here on the show. He's cracking the whip. Obviously, management, that's an edict. Teach these kids, you know, get them in shape. And he's had some tough practices, running suicides and all that stuff. And a bit of a power struggle here. There's the mascot. Look at him. Yeah. Look at the nostrils flaring. He's ready to roll. The Bold Bull, King Kong Bundy.
People don't know what he's talking about. Jim Boylan looks exactly like the Chicago Bull without the horns.
We'll tweet this out for you.
Yeah, exactly.
Maybe we can get an image, because I know this is in our database for the network. Maybe we can get this out there so people know what we're talking about if they don't have the simulcast. But anyway, there was a scuffle at the end of the game last night. Boylan, between the Bulls and the Thunder, Boylan was seen coming to his player's aid by grabbing Oklahoma City forward Jeremy Grant around the neck. Robin Lopez looked like he was fit to be touched. He looked like he just emerged from a cave and he was ready to wrestle a dinosaur. He looked absolutely out of his mind. And he wasn't backing down from Adams either, who's a tough Australian. So Lopez was ready to do something. Inbounds, out of bounds, as Boylan pulled himself into the fray. Grabbing an opposing player around the neck to protect his player is in or out.
This is out of bounds, BT. And here's the problem. I think he knew who he was grabbing. Maybe he thought he was grabbing his own guy. But he's lost in the mix there. And he wasn't trying to grab him around the neck. People will make an issue about it being around the kid's neck.
Well, that's the way Santa worded it.
Yeah, but it's not.
Santa, the inflammatory type.
He's out heighted by this kid by like 5 inches. And so he's trying to grab his, you know, somewhere just to pull him safely. And I think he thought he was grabbing his own guy. But this is out of bounds, BT. You just don't get involved if you're the coach here. One, because some of these athletes get emotional.
Yes.
And you could hurt yourself. And two, that's what the refs are for. They'll sort it out.
I'm going to disagree with you, although I really do understand where you're coming from. That is the danger zone. I get it. It's like Jeff Van Gundy throwing himself onto Alonzo Mourning's leg back in the day. Like a little poodle, you know, having fun with a fire hydrant. I mean, he's lucky Alonzo. How's that for an analogy? I mean, Jeff Van Gundy's lucky Alonzo didn't kick him to the moon,
kick him to
the rafters next to Willis Reed Jersey.
That's all it would have taken.
Oh, my good God. That was so awesome when that happened. But anyway, here's why I say inbounds, even though you really are fundamentally absolutely correct. Because of the situation in Chicago and the disconnect between Boylan and his players, and by doing this, it shows a willingness. I don't want to say that it would seem hollow if he didn't insert himself into it and he was really trying to get the team energized and going old school. This is an old school reaction by a coach who is administering old school discipline. So specific to this, even though I agree, you're right, and it's wrong for this situation, I actually think it's right. I say inbounds.
Are you in or are you out?
I see a little baseball here. The Phillies, they've been rumored to be the front runner for either Manny Machado or Bryce Harper in free agency. Now, former MLB GM and MLB Network radio host Steve, Steve Phillips is a good guy. We like Steve.
We haven't had him on in a while.
Nah. But I saw him. I think I saw him in the street like 3 weeks ago. I saw him somewhere really random. I've always liked Steve. So anyway, he says their interest in Harper may be overblown since the Phillies brass didn't even meet with Harper and his agent Scott Boras during last week's winter meetings in Vegas. Now, another report from MLB.com says the Phillies actually prefer Machado to Harper despite Machado's issues with hustling during the postseason. And some people think he's dirty. I don't think that, but that was a part of the story as well. In or out, Machado is the better option for teams with money to spend in free agency than Harper.
I'm going to say inbounds here, BT, mainly because he's cheaper. Two, I think he's got
We don't know that, actually.
That's a good point.
We don't know that.
That's a very good point. We assume that he's cheaper, but also he's got such versatility in his game. And also, I think this is the bigger one, for me at least.
Yep.
Manny Machado, I think, can fit into whatever circumstance he's in and blend to an extent, whereas Bryce Harper is going to be out there. He's going to be the guy. Now, maybe that's what you want, but it might not be what you want. So depending on what you're looking for, I think Manny Machado is more versatile of a fit than Bryce Harper is.
See, that's interesting. I'll tell you one thing that I'm definitely looking for if I'm giving somebody a check that starts with three and who knows where it goes from there. I want a guy that I know is going to put some fannies in the seat.
Good point.
My answer is Bryce Harper. Listen, Machado, the positional, especially the defensive versatility that Machado has over Harper, it's a strong point, and it's true. He can play shortstop. He's not great, but he's fine. He can play third, and he's basically Brooks Robinson, Greg Nettles, and George Brett all wrapped up in one. And Nolan Arenado. He might be the greatest defensive third baseman in the history of baseball. He's special. But Bryce Harper is going to, I believe that, and we've talked about this, Teague, I believe there's another layer to his, another tick up.
Yeah.
I think what we've seen from Machado, while it's close to extraordinary, it's always going to get a lot better. I think Bryce Harper's going to have a year, especially in certain stadiums, mm-hmm. if it's Philly, if it's Yankee Stadium. I think he's going to flirt with 60 bombs without steroids. Like, he's going to put, and Machado's not going to do that.
No.
And I believe that Harper's the kind of player that, you know, your kids, hey, you want to go see Bryce play tonight? And you suck it up and you pay the, I don't think you do that for Machado. I don't think he inspires you to reach into your pocket.
But,
and I need some return
but
on that.
But do you think Machado helps you win a little bit
I think
bit
they both
more.
Help you win because they're great players. They're, I mean, listen, if you're looking for a shortstop or a third baseman versus an outfielder or maybe a first baseman down the road, there's different ways to parse it. I don't think either answer is wrong. I could certainly see it both ways.
What a quick hour. Wow.
All right. Wait to hear what Dabo said. Get to this coming up.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.